Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Here we are. It's been a long time. How long has it been exactly?
Morning.
3 weeks. Has it been
a
3 weeks?
Long time. I think it's been 3 weeks. Oh. And this won't go out for another week, so we'll be like a full
almost
month.
Almost a month, Jeez. That's crazy.
It's good. Yeah. We've got a lot to talk about.
We have.
Well, you say that. I mean, I don't. Like, I've got less to talk about than ever now. Like, we went on a trip. Nothing really happened. We came back. Nothing happened, really. And now, here we are, with nothing to talk about. So,
let's start with BlizzCon. What did you guys get up to at BlizzCon?
What were you doing the whole time, P-Flex, by the way? Did you go somewhere?
This is probably more interesting than our trip. What did you get up to while we were away on a trip?
When?
Over the last 3 weeks. Because didn't you go away somewhere?
You went on vacation the week before we went. Yeah, you were away. Remember? It was half term. You were away.
Let me check my calendar because I can't remember back that far.
This is what happens when you get old. The time slips away from you.
I went to Italy.
And?
I went to Rome with Mrs. F, just me and Mrs. F.
Was it exactly like Everybody Loves Raymond when they go on the trip to Italy?
I haven't watched the episode of Everybody Loves Raymond.
It was actually a 2-episode mini series where the whole family goes to Italy. It was just as bad as every other episode of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, we're in Italy now. Oh, this sucks. Oh, I can't get good coffee anywhere.
Raymond, we're in Italy. There's good coffee everywhere.
I'd love a cup of coffee, man. Everybody Loves Raymond.
Raymond,
shit show.
Tell your mother to shut the fuck up. I'm sick of telling her myself.
God, it's such a hateful show.
It really is. I think Ray Romano is clinically depressed. He's got to be. He just seems to hate life
I think he's just a dick. I don't think he's depressed. I think he's one of those people that just hates everybody else and everything they do. Like, a lot of comedians are like that. I think Jerry Seinfeld is like that as well. If you're an observational comedian or a comedian who jokes about, like, regular shit, you have to be someone that is annoyed by and notices every tiny stupid little thing that people do and sort of looks down on it enough to make fun of it. I'm a big fan of Seinfeld, right? I love
and
the show.
Larry David is probably 1,000 times more concentrated than that as well in noticing people's isms. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, I think that Ray Romano and guys like that, they just hate everybody. And I think they have a big ego and they're like, this guy, I don't like the way he eats a sandwich. This is a fucking deal with it. Just shut up. You don't have to make a show about how someone eats a sandwich in a slightly wrong way. And the thing is, I think they know it's super petty, right?
I mean,
but they do it anyway.
You say that, but there'd be no Seinfeld if it wasn't for that. And
I know, yeah.
I'm super grateful that Seinfeld exists.
I am. Yeah,
I'm not at all grateful that Everybody Loves Raymond exists.
No, but they're different. I think in Seinfeld, it's more like, I mean, Kramer is such a great character and Elaine is they're all good characters. They're all funny and you're kind of rooting for them all, right?
Yeah.
Even though they're also horribly petty. The point is, the other people in the show say to them, you're crazy. Like, that's disgraceful. And their behavior is picked up on.
Yeah.
Everybody Loves Raymond. It's just this awful, dysfunctional family with this objectionable, horrible character that I just can't stand. I just hate it. It's so... My mum loves that show.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never met a person who loves that show. Like, for
loves
me,
it.
That show was just on, and obviously people watched it because it's on all the fucking time.
Ugh.
Like, it's on TV here every day, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And, like... You know, there's a big culture gap there where, you know, I think it was like Seinfeld. Like, Seinfeld didn't translate super well in England. You know, like,
no.
You'll meet a lot of people in England who've just never watched it or didn't get it. Yeah,
yeah.
And didn't get it. But for some reason, Everybody Loves Raymond is somehow more relatable. It's on TV every day here. Seinfeld isn't.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it's so weird. I don't know. Yeah, it's a pretty weird show.
You are right.
I mean, Frasier's on every day here, and I think that's a great show.
That is a classic.
Really good. But yeah, but everybody loves Raymond.
Frasier does stupid shit in the show, right? And so he makes bad decisions. He's selfish, but the other characters pick him up on it. That's the thing. You need that balance. If the character is just they're just all horrible, which is what Everybody Loves Raymond seems like to me. He's got this awful mother, the terrible father, the brother, and Raymond, and his poor wife has to put up with this fucking idiot. I just want to shake her and say, "Get away from this guy. He's dangerous. He's going to ruin your life."
I mean, another show where all of the characters are terrible, not badly acted or whatever. I mean, just like their personalities or whatever are you know, terrible is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But that show's fucking hilarious.
I have never watched it.
It's super good. Like you should watch it. It's funny as hell.
It's amazing.
It is.
Okay. It gets one of these shows that gets actually better with age as well, and actually the seasons get better as it goes along.
Because so. I didn't watch Community until it had been out for like years.
I've never even watched Community. Isn't Chevy Chase?
It is actually good. Yeah, it is good. I was surprised because if you tune in for an episode randomly, it means nothing.
I saw a poster for it, and I saw Chevy Chase didn't look anything like he looked in National Lampoon's Summer Vacation. And I was like, nope, I'm not watching that. I don't want to see that.
I'm scared by the ravages of age. I don't want to know.
It resonates with me. I think, like, that's me. Yeah, I look at myself, like, 5 years ago, it's like, well, I don't look anything like myself. And it, you know, I don't want to see Chevy like that.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't want to see Chevy
It is
that.
Worth seeing, though. It's a funny show.
Yeah.
Community's great.
So, yeah. Rome.
Yeah.
We went around Rome for like, we were there for like 3 or 4 days and stayed in this nice hotel. Rome is great. Like, I loved it. It was very, very, very pretty.
Rome's fantastic. God.
They drive like lunatics.
Yeah.
And everywhere. Like, you'll be on an alleyway having a cup of coffee in a cafe sort of thing, and a guy goes past in a car.
Beep, beep.
Scooters. Man, like, they love scooters over there too, eh?
They do.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That stereotype is totally deserved.
It's 100%. Like, and the hand waving, all that stuff, they do that. Like, they really do that. They all talk with their hands. They're all like, "Hey, Bernie, how could you do this?" They're sort of waving their hands and stuff. Like,
they really do.
They do it. They're waving their hands just like this. Watch. Listen very carefully.
I can hear it. Yeah, I can hear the air dispersing.
And we went to the Vatican. Obviously, I'm not a religious person at all.
No, but it's worth going to,
in terms
to,
of a building or a series of buildings to see, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the main bit we saw was the St. Peter's Basilica, which is this ridiculous church. It is something out of Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings. It's just so incredibly big and grand.
Yeah.
And it's just ludicrously high. And there's this altar. And the whole thing about the Catholic Church seems to be that if you're going to have a floor, make it huge and marble. If you're going to have a ceiling, make it like the highest one there is and marble. And if you've got some marble lying around, put it somewhere. Like, don't waste marble. Get marble everything. And then if there's an altar, you know the bit where the priest does the altary stuff?
Yeah.
Let's have an altar. Okay, let's make it 40 stories high, and he can stand at the top and throw marble down on the assembled crowd. That's pretty much what happens. The whole place was just ridiculous. I couldn't believe it.
Churches are really hit and miss like that, because sometimes you go to a church and the altar is really crappy. You know, it's just like a just like a block of wood and it's boring. But then other times you go to church and, like,
don't you think that's appropriate?
Man, honestly, I'd rather go to the marble one. Because, like,
right, but the point is, that's not the
religion.
Jesus didn't want the commandments.
I want to be wowed.
One of the commandments wasn't pizzazz.
I'm not there to learn or listen to anything, okay? I want to be blown away. I want to have an experience, all right? And part of me having an experience is being visually stimulated by a massive altar.
You're not meant to be. You're meant to be spiritually moved. And you're meant, like, Jesus was a humble dude, right?
I think that would help move my spirit, though, if I was wowed visually like that, you know?
So you go to church one day, and Jesus is giving the sermon, but he's like, he's just wearing the white robe.
All right, that'd be different, though. That's actual Jesus, okay?
He's just got a simple wooden altar. But you don't know it's Jesus.
And I would know going, it was Jesus, all right? He's got the beard and the long...
possessed? I'm fucking bored over here.
Can
what
we get some fucking
at?
Glam up in here, Jesus? Jeez, it's so fucking boring. No, but honestly, I'd rather go to, like, the nice one than, like, the shitty... You know, like, churches in North America, I don't know if you've ever been to them, but... They're lazy, man. They're just like shitty fucking buildings that were probably meant to be like a grocery store, and then they just had a change of heart at the last second. They're like, fuck, let's just make a church. Who cares? Like, they don't even look churchy. And like, the insides are like really fucking weird and boring, and the altars are all made of wood and stuff. Like, European churches are where it's at.
Like, I think a church should be simple.
Pick any European church and it's older than America.
I mean, but you think that they could have done like an homage to like the old churches and not
like
try
styled them up. Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of problems with those old style churches. They get very cold and they're a bit weird. And I don't know, like it's just, they're not very easy to kind of
you should
like.
Be. Cold. You should be cold at church.
You should be freezing. I've spent a long time freezing my balls off in church. No, totally. I think in Italy, though, I don't think I 100% agree with like what PFLEX said, right? I think that having an extremely grandiose church reinforces that power of God, okay? Yeah. It's like that he's almighty. He can't be wrong. Like,
yeah.
We're so powerful. We're so rich. Here's just a really elaborate showing of that.
It's terrible. That's not the message. The message was that, I honestly think, if you wanted to be humble.
Yeah. Here's our reliquary with the golden blinging medallion.
We didn't get enough donations last year, and all we could afford was this fucking boring piece of wood.
You guys are the worst.
To do our praying from.
You've corrupted the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
No, man. It's a temple
thou
of worship.
Thou shalt not worship graven image, sir. Graven, whatsoever that means. And I think that having a fucking basilica, right?
On the
floor of the basilica,
man,
as you're walking along there, it has a stone to say, this is how long St. Paul's is. Oh. And this is how long some other cathedral is. And here's another one. Look, it's not as long as this one, is it?
Okay.
There's this one. It's got all the other ones in the world.
You know
just
why
showing,
they, you know why
this
they
is the
them
biggest
big?
One.
Yeah, you know why they build them big? Okay, because old God is up there in the clouds looking down. You think he's going to see like a little fucking townhouse made of wood as a church?
He doesn't actually have to look with his eyes.
He doesn't. He's always looking.
He is. That's number one.
He's just like, what is that down there?
He's going to see the big ass church, okay, with the marble. He's going to see that. It's huge.
Fetch my binoculars. I think they built a really small wooden church. I want you to see it.
Those heathens have erected another wooden church, mama.
It's tiny. Boo! Blow it up.
Smite it.
It's not like you when you're spotting animals in the garden. What was it you were saying? You couldn't see them. They were too far away. Man, what is that?
Fuck, I don't know. I don't. That wasn't me. That was Lewis. I'm sure it was.
That was you. I remember it really well. I wanted you to do a nature documentary where you didn't leave a lawn chair. You have a lawn chair in the middle of the garden.
And at the end of the garden, I think, is that a newt? Fuck, I don't know.
Can't really see it from here. Something.
Shit. No.
Have you guys watched Planet Earth 2 yet? The new...
No.
I saw you jizzing on Twitter about it, though. Is it good?
It is so good. It's jizz-worthy. It's incredible.
Okay.
Apart from the fact that... I don't know how they keep managing to find animals that I haven't seen before in a nature program. Like, all right,
well,
there are 10 years.
You say that, right? They've only explored like 10% of the ocean. Who fucking knows what's down there? Like,
yeah,
alligators the size of like a building and stuff. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Probably not alligators in the ocean, I would wager.
No, it was just an example. I'm not getting technical. I'm just saying, like, who knows what's down there?
I think it's just a lot of fucking...
Is that an alligator over there? Could be.
I think we found all the cool stuff.
No.
Well, I think down there's just going to be slugs and snails
and worms.
Yeah, but
they're cool too.
Shit.
Some of them are crazy. Like, they eat sand and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That's the future nature documentaries. When they find that we found a new animal, everyone was like, ooh, and they're like, here it is. And it's just like a blob.
It's just,
they're just like eating itself.
It doesn't
just
have any eyes. But it doesn't need any. It just lives at the very bottom of the ocean.
This Planet remarkable Earth creature. Three. Next. Doesn't look cool. Doesn't look cute.
We've scraped the bottom of the barrel of the ocean to find you all of the things that we didn't show you before. We have a collection of slugs with no eyes, snails,
weird slime puddles,
sea worms,
and probably the biggest fucking alligator you've ever seen in your life. Oh shit!
I heard it was quite metal, like quite kind of quite cruel, as in nature.
I watched it with the kids.
It's quite adult.
I watched the first episode again with the kids. Nice. And we've got a nice big telly. It's beautiful HD picture and everything. So it's like that.
How big is it?
It's huge. It's the size of a big alligator.
How many
was it
inches?
A bit traumatic for them.
Is it like a 50 incher?
I don't know what the dimensions are. It's fucking big. It's like you could use it as a table.
Is
right?
it a
it's
curve? Like, does it curve?
No, it doesn't curve. But so we're watching it. My
Who
eldest,
has one of those?
She's like 7.5. She fucking loved it, right?
Okay.
My one who's nearly 5, she was in tears pretty much the whole time. Because
was there a lot of like animal, like predatorial
not really.
Animals?
Not
Such
really.
A great dad.
She's got to tough it up, Lewis. I said to her, listen, sweetheart.
She bursts into tears immediately. You're like, you're going to watch the rest of this 45 minutes.
I said to her, listen, sweetheart, nature is cruel. I said, you've got to learn that these animals, I said, like, if you haven't seen it, there's a scene where there's an iguana, baby iguanas, and the baby iguanas hatch up out of the sand, and my kids were like, oh, and then they were like, and then come the snakes, and these snakes start coming at them, and the iguanas have to run up the beach to get to their parents, who are like watching from the rocks, like, God, son, you can do it. And these snakes are chasing them down.
That's the worst part about nature documentaries, because
it's like a really shitty sports day at school.
Oh, it's incredible.
There's no, like, they get to the point where like the baby iguana is going to get eaten by a snake, and the lead up is like 2 minutes of basically silence, and for those 2 minutes you feel so fucking helpless. You're just like, oh shit, it's just gonna happen. Like, I can't do anything. I have to sit here and watch this. Even Attenborough's just not talking anymore. He's done. And then fucking it happens, and then the baby iguana dies, and you're just like, and then it's like, so cruel, Mother Nature. Fuck, no! Not again! Another one bites the dust.
That was her reaction. She was literally in tears. She was trying to get away, and I was like holding her. It's like, no, you must learn. And my eldest is going, yeah, you got to learn about
You're
the
like
snakes.
Holding open her eyelids. No, I don't want to watch this.
And then they did have a bit where these penguins live on this island, and it's like the largest penguin colony in the world. It's fucking huge. It's like this volcanic island, and the entire coastline is just like ragged, jagged rocks. And the penguins have to time it so that when a big wave crashes against the rocks, they throw themselves in it and get swept out. But they have to reverse their process to get back in. They've got to ride the wave up to the rock and just try and jump and cling on. And they get dashed against the rocks, and they get covered in blood, and they're like dragging themselves around. And I was like, okay, now you can go. Like, this is too much. Watching penguins get fucked up on a rock.
Penguins are crazy, though. Like, I saw that March of the Penguins documentary years ago. And like, holy shit, the fucking shit that penguins put up with is unbelievable.
They are,
like,
incredible animals.
They really are. It's insane. Like, I don't even know how they do it. I don't know how they manage to have babies and make more penguins and stuff. It's insane. Like, they live in the harshest conditions ever. Yeah. And they starve. They virtually starve to death every year because they have to just wait for shit to like come about so that they can start eating again and stuff. And it's insane. Who would want to do that? It's I know they don't want to. They don't know any better or whatever, but fuck.
It's just bonkers to me that something managed to find that foothold. Like, that there was a niche in nature that said, you know what we need is a flightless bird, which can fuck off in the first place, and then it can barely walk, right? Yeah. It's like this fat, waddling thing that can't fly. Yeah. It can swim real well, but it has no arms to climb. And it has to get down from a cliff, and then it has to swim 50 miles, which is how far these penguins swam. And then it has to come back, and in a colony of tens of thousands of penguins, find its mate.
Man, I don't know if you've ever seen penguins at the zoo or whatever, but to add insult to injury, after all of that, they fucking stink so bad too. Like, they shit everywhere. It stinks. It's putrid. It's awful. And I just think, like, give these penguins a break. Give them something.
Give them a break.
Give them give some them a redeeming good feature.
Voice or something. I guess they don't even have a nice song.
They have a. They're good at swimming, though.
Oh, they're the best.
Man, they're like torpedoes when they get in there.
Yeah.
But they don't spend a lot of time doing it, which is weird.
Yeah.
You know?
I just feel like that evolutionary path for penguins, because they've got those little vestigial wings, right? So there must have been something further back in the line that was a flying bird.
Yeah.
And then at some point that branched off and that branch was like, fuck flying. I know I'm a bird and I know that's bird heresy, but I'm taken to the seas and just decided to be a swimming bird. I'm like, what?
Man, maybe they were banished from the skies because maybe they didn't fucking opt for the marble and stuck to the
of course, what did God create them? Bear that in mind, you know.
What the fuck are you talking about?
So, you know, he obviously just...
If God created penguins, he fucked up, dude. What was he thinking? What kind of design decision is
maybe
that?
Maybe that was like one of the first things he created. He's like, I'm a little anxious here. I'm not very good at this. Let's just try this out and hope for the... Oh, shit. Okay, well, we'll learn from our mistakes and make better things next time.
Put him on a quiet island out of the way. No one will notice.
Hopefully nobody ever finds these things, because they're not my best work. It's... Oh man. Anyway, so Rome. What else did you get up to in Rome?
We walked around a lot. Like, we just walked, we ate, like, yeah, obviously lovely Italian food every day and just hung out, and it was very romantic and very nice, and it was good.
Sweet.
It was good. And then got back, and obviously we had the we were gonna go to, I don't know if I shall not mention its name, on Friday. The Friday of in October. You know what I'm talking about?
Friday the 13th?
No. The thing I was going to go to. I don't want to offend anybody. It was the thing that we were all going to go to, and it was cancelled.
Oh, Comic-Con.
Shh, don't say it.
Oh, shit. Oh. Sorry.
Right. That's were we going to go? Oh, shit, yeah, you were going to go, weren't you? Yeah. Your kid was really excited
she
about it.
She was very
everything.
Excited, yeah.
Did you just tell them that they had a...
No, I told him. I told him the whole story.
The thing wasn't just... They just closed it down.
I told them the whole story. No. I told them the whole honest story. And
there was alligators there and...
Yeah.
There were... You know, and penguins. But not the good kind.
They couldn't get the penguins to show up.
Swamp.
And then it was my mate's 40th birthday, and I got absolutely hammered.
Nice.
And spent the next 2 days recovering. And then Halloween, obviously, which was great fun. I live in a neighborhood full of families and stuff, so Halloween is really good, and some people really go to town. I did not. No, but my kids did. My eldest went as a vampire queen.
Okay.
And the youngest went as a zombie tennis player. Her idea.
Nice.
And she just wanted to be a zombie tennis player. I don't know where she got it from, but so I had to get her a little tennis outfit and a little tennis racket and everything.
Man,
and
maybe she likes Tim Henman. Like, he's like a zombie tennis player, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe. Was. He was.
Yeah,
just a commentator.
And then we had
now.
Guy Fawkes Day, which was a good crack.
Oh, we
had
were
a...
away for that.
So,
we?
Of course, Guy Fawkes Night every year gets more and more forgotten about because it comes so soon after Halloween.
Yeah,
that it's like,
but then
oh,
there
shit.
Was there was that one year where that fireworks factory blew up. You remember that? And that was like the ultimate one. Nobody could top that one.
What are you fucking talking about? So ever since a fireworks factory blew up near to
everyone
Guy Fawkes
was like,
night,
oh shit, what are we going to have to do next year? Like blow up two of them? Or like, and everybody just sort of said, ah, fuck it.
I don't think the
let's
fireworks factory blew up on Guy Fawkes Day.
I'm sure it did.
That would have been a bit convenient, wouldn't it?
No, I'm sure it did though. Like, that, I remember clearly this happening at some point.
They were like, that's it. There's no topping it. We're done.
It's done.
Yep.
Man, that we thing just blew up constantly for like 12 hours. Like, it was insane. Like, just when they thought, they were like, okay, I think finally, pew, 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 pew. Nope, it's not done. It's just like
kept going.
And every
time the fire brigade wanted to go in, they were like, no, you never approach a firework, even if you think it's gone out.
Roman candles were just going like crazy. And, oh, man. Yeah, it was pretty devastating.
You know what they need to get? They need to get a dad. He'll walk up to a firework that should have gone off and hasn't, because that's what dads do. The
that's
kids
it.
Go, no, yeah. Dad, you must. You're like, don't worry, kids. I've got this. And just praying, please don't explode in my face.
Yeah, that's exactly what's...
Yeah,
yeah,
you don't
exactly
want those things
like.
Going off in your hand. Holy shit. Yeah.
It is such a dad... I remember my dad doing that as well. Just, we were all like, no, Dad, don't go back there. And he would just sort of walk
did he
out
have,
into
like, the
darkness.
Did he have the big sand pit like in your backyard and nobody was allowed to go close to it? He'd have to like... launch them and stuff.
No, my mum used to get me because I mean, obviously, my parents were divorced, so there was no dad to hand.
Oh.
So I had to step up. I've been a dad most of my life, goddammit, like in
Holy
spirit.
Shit.
So I had to go up and I did the fireworks because my mum and my sister
this
didn't want to go near
the
it.
The hair.
Yeah, exactly. I was dad
the stress
at 25.
Of doing those fireworks, yeah. Man. The
stress.
Responsibility.
Being a dad
loved
before
it.
your time.
Before you're actually a dad, yeah.
Yeah, holy shit.
But
so mum can't go and light fireworks. That's not a mum thing.
No. Mum's the one that says, careful, that you need that.
From inside, like from the kitchen window.
Behind the door, yeah.
Careful out there.
Careful! Don't burn yourself. I'll be 20 feet away if you need me.
through the window. Yeah.
I don't trust you guys with anything.
I always thought it was probably more dangerous to be behind a window because... You know, if the firework did fire at you, the window would like smash and then.
Yeah, but windows don't shatter now. Like single pane windows do, but like if you've got if you got double glazing, it does that thing that windshields do. You know, like it just cracks a lot, but like none of the window, like no fragments go flying or anything like that. It's all contained.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good to know.
It's got like some sort of film over it or something that holds it all in, so you'd be fine. But like, yeah, if it was like back in the 1940s or something.
And you're dead.
Yeah, single pane of glass would shatter and stab you a million times directly in the heart and probably your face too. So you'd be dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Maybe, we always used to buy fairly low powered crappy fireworks that were.
Were they the indoor fireworks?
No, I mean, we had some indoor fireworks as well at Christmas and things, but not, you know, we didn't live in a block of flats and the best thing we could do on Guy Fawkes Night was have some indoor fireworks.
A friend of mine invited me around one time for fireworks night and I was like, he's got, yeah, we're going to have fireworks. I was like, oh, cool. And it was just a single pack of the indoor fireworks. Like the weird thing that you light, it's like a tablet and the snake comes out of the top of it. It's like the most underwhelming thing. It's just a chemical reaction. It produces a shitload of this weird black foam. That's it.
Yeah.
I was like so disappointed.
I remember there was a firework that literally looked like a Quality Street chocolate or something, you know, and you light it and it turns into a gigantic like dog poo. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's
like
so weird.
The dog poo firework. What a fucking... What a great thing that is.
Like in Canada and in America, well, Canada on the 1st of July is Canada Day. So that was like our firework day. Like that's when you do your fireworks. Like and throughout the year, not really, you know, it was just Canada Day. And New Year's Eve, like fireworks as well.
Oh, yeah.
But Canada Day was the big one. I remember like they do like massive fireworks like from Parliament Hill and stuff in Ottawa. And I guess the 4th of July is the American one where they go out and they buy all their humdingers and zizzle fraggers and whatever, you know, the ones that rip up the sky and stuff. And, but I don't know, like it is weird. Like we didn't really like, it wasn't like the done thing. Like over here, people buy like a lot of fireworks in France, I guess, and bring them back over here and make a big deal about launching them in their backyard and stuff and all throughout.
Why do you have to go to France?
Well, that's the done thing over here.
Well,
Jersey.
Bastille Day is July 14th, isn't it? And they have a lot of them left over after that. And they're pretty cheap and pretty big as well. I think their rules on fireworks are a little bit less than ours are.
Yeah, so people do that. But like, yeah, it's pretty weird. I don't know. There's like where I grew up anyway, there wasn't like a lot of like homebrew fireworks. Like you just went downtown and watched like the real show. You know,
was Canada Day this kind of thing where you did have fireworks yourself in your garden?
No,
was that the kind of
nobody really did that. Not where I lived, anyway.
Hmm. That was definitely a thing we did. And Halloween wasn't really a big deal at all when I was a kid.
No, it was for us. Like in North America, Halloween's fucking huge. Like, well, it was when I was a kid, anyway. Like we had pillowcases full of candy. Like it was nuts.
When I was in New York, it was big, and then I came over here and nobody did it, and I was really disappointed.
It's only in the past couple of years over here, I'd say, that it's gotten really big.
And it really does overshadow Guy Fawkes Night, because it comes so soon after it that you just sort of, everything is all Halloween out the ass, because it's such a seasonal holiday where you decorate everything, and every shop now has spider webs and stuff in it, and cobwebs and Halloween specials. I guess Guy Fawkes Night has never really had that branding.
Well, this year was the first year where it was the double whammy, and it caught me a little bit off guard. We went into a store to buy a couple of Halloween things, because when you have kids, they want to like decorate the house, and they look forward to trick-or-treating and stuff, and that's all fine and stuff. So we go in and we go in to buy the stuff, and right next to the Halloween stuff, it was like a half and half. There was Halloween stuff and Christmas stuff. I couldn't fucking believe it. Like, it was crazy. This isn't even at the end of October. This is like halfway through October leading up to Halloween. Yeah. They're already selling like fucking singing Santas and just all of this.
Oh, it was nuts.
Fucking crap. Yeah.
We were in Target, weren't we, in America, and there was literally like two whole aisles full of Christmas crap.
Yeah.
And we were there on like the 3rd of November or whatever. It was like, holy shit.
It's nuts.
Like, it's basically 2 months of, and they're playing like Christmas music as well. It's like 2 months of the year is now Christmas, which I guess, I like Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I love Christmas. I think it's a really, it's that whole thing, that Danish word, hygge. Yeah, that's a big word now. It means like comfort and coziness. And I really feel that whole vibe. You know, come January, like, you know, it's just cold and miserable and wet and freezing and shitty. I'm like, oh fuck, I don't feel any kind of coziness at all. But you know, the whole way through Christmas, I'm full on. Just, I love it. I love it. It's a bit. So, actually, do you know what? I'm going to say, it is a bit early, but I don't really mind.
I do. I like the week of Christmas. I like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and like the couple of days leading up to the new year or whatever. I don't mind. Like, you know, if you have a normal 9-to-5 job, normally if you're lucky enough, you can get that time off. So you just, you know, laze around a lot, eat. There's lots of movies and stuff on TV that you can just watch during the day and stuff. It's pretty cool. I like that time. I hate the fucking lead up. Like, it drives me nuts. I hate the fucking stores and all the shit and all these fucking weird frothing people buying up all this shit all the time. And like, it's nuts. It's like the stores aren't going to fucking close. Like, you're not preparing for the fucking end of the world here. You know, like, just act normal. Like, it's just fucking Christmas. Like, you don't have to lose your shit every year leading up like 3 weeks before Christmas. It's crazy. Like, people are nuts.
So you decorated your house for Halloween, and then I guess you have to take all that down and then decorate for Christmas.
We didn't decorate the house. Well, we decorated the front door. We put like some spider webs on and some fake spiders.
I was concerned
spiders,
that you'd like
carved some pumpkins.
Hog.
No. And then like,
so I know your son is like, Halloween could, you know, forget Christmas.
Yeah,
if you just had a long Halloween, he'd
love it.
Delighted.
Yeah. But no, like Christmas, we put up a tree and like we put up a couple of things, but we don't like put lights all around the house. And that's another thing that's not like super popular over here. I don't find anyway. Like in North America, putting Christmas lights on your house, holy shit, like every house has them pretty much, especially if you're out in the suburbs and stuff. But over here, not so much. You don't see like that many houses like fully decorated with lights.
We generally put a string of lights around like the windows and door frames and stuff like that, and some outside, but I don't put like nothing that flashes on and off. Like, it's a nice steady,
not
peaceful
like
glow.
Christmas,
I don't like
Vacation where you drain the grid sort of thing.
I hate that. I hate any flashing lights.
Yeah.
Offend me greatly. A light should be steady.
What about a homebrew nativity scene outside on your front lawn?
Is it really weird or insensitive in some way or offensive? Then yes. Like, the weirder and more offensive they are, the better, I think.
Yeah.
Make them just bonkers, but made from a point of view of the person doesn't realize it's bonkers. Those are my favorites. When you see something that's just like, why is E.T. playing the baby Jesus here? That's what I like.
Right. Do you like hiding weird shit in Christmas decorations?
I found a lot of trash in my garden and I made a nativity scene with it.
Look, because why the is three baby wives Jesus a
old container of bleach? I don't get it.
the three wise men, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper have come to pay tribute.
And Dr. Pepper, don't be fooled. He's a legitimate doctor as well.
It's like a hobo's Christmas. A hobo nativity.
Fuck. Yeah, I find people like extra irritating around Christmas. I don't know what it is. Like, you can just sense like how crazy they're going as well. Like, the stress is building up. There's a lot of pressure. They probably have like family flying in from fucking who knows where to stay with them for a week and stuff. And these people are buying like four turkeys and like just all of this shit. And you're like, oh, fuck off. Get a fucking grip.
I think, you know what? That's the thing I don't like, is people who get stressed about Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is, bear in mind that we're not seeing this from, and this is going to sound sexist, but I honestly think it's true, from a woman's perspective. My wife gets super fucking stressed, and I don't know any of my friends' wives that don't get stressed about Christmas if they have family coming to stay. They feel that the emphasis is on them to sort it out, and if they fuck it up, it reflects badly on them, because no one expects me to do shit, right? No one's expecting me to sort out Christmas. It's always on Mrs. F. So even though I do a lot for Christmas, so I'm like, that and I help out, but the emphasis is still on her.
I wear my sweater and I get blindingly, ragingly drunk. Noon,
but you know, that's my fucking job. I'm a dad, it's Christmas. I'm gonna sit on the sofa, complain about the TV, and say, there's no good movies on this year. What the fuck, they showed this last year? And whilst drinking, you know, Bailey's or whatever, at like one in the afternoon.
Mary Poppins will be on for sure, though. You know, it'll be on.
Yeah, that'll be on. The kids love that movie, We watched Oliver the other day, Oliver the musical.
Wow.
You know, Oliver exclamation mark, that one. Yeah. That is a hell of a long movie. I'd forgotten how long it is.
Yeah.
But I always sing that song that Mr. Bumble sings when he's trying to sell Oliver to like that undertaker. Because it's such a tragic song. It's like the slave trade, right? With this orphan kid. And I sing that to the kids all the time. If I claim I'm going to sell them, I walk around singing that song. It's quite funny. Anyway, we're watching it and they were like, that's that song you always sing. I was like, yeah, this is the musical it came from. This is Oliver. And they watched the whole thing like with rapt attention. And they just couldn't believe how shitty that kid's life was. And it kind of made me think that Christmas is a big deal for them, but really, it's just another...
I thought you were going to say how shitty your rendition of it was.
Well, I'm no Harry Seacombe, obviously.
This completely different.
Dad, this is
way better.
I barely recognised it.
It has notes in it, Dad, and the singer hits them. What the fuck? Yeah, but
it was
weird.
You were trying to copy this?
They're too young to be that judgmental. When they're older, they can do that.
Yeah. Dad, yeah, I just want to call into question your rendition of the song that Mr. Bumble sang in Oliver circa 2014, 2015. I realize now this is 30 years ago, but I just thought I'd bring it to your attention.
I've written an essay concerning your performance.
I made a very lengthy Tumblr post about the do's and don'ts of Oliver renditions.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Maybe what if I end up as like a Tumblr post? My kids will be like, "Why my dad was a terrible dad?"
Yeah.
It's just like
that's
some
the fear
picture that their friend has drawn of me hunched over a computer playing Dota or something.
I mean, there's plenty of pictures like that available of us as well. So like,
yeah, that's true.
You know, they're going to be able to put together a pretty solid case about how bad of dads we are with all the pictures of us pouring over
video
games.
So your kids were watching it with rapt attention, thinking, oh my God, this is what he meant all those times when he was trying to sell us.
Yeah.
Our lives would be like this.
I would walk around the house singing like, you know, that they were like, that I was trying to sell them because I was sick of them sort of thing. That's the song. Just teasing. Yeah. Like they know, they, you know, it's funny and everything. But,
yeah.
But
in the back of their mind, they're thinking, oh,
is he really going to sell us to just anyone?
I hope you're not serious.
A friend of mine's mum used to do that. If the kids were acting up, what their mum would do is she would say, "You see that man
she
over
would
there?
Actually sell
I'm going to give you to that man over there if you don't behave yourself." And it would be like she'd pick like the creepiest, weirdest guy standing around. So they have an innate terror of strangers as a result of being told that basically they were going to be given to one of these strangers. "I'm going to give you to that man over there if you don't stop."
That's
a good tactic.
Some hard
actually.
Done by dad who's on his lunch break. Yeah. You know. He's like fucking ground down by his job. He's got the kids at home. He's thinking, "Oh, I get this little bit of a break." And that woman over there is pointing at him. He's just
I get this
oh,
one sliver of sunlight every day, and even now I'm being judged by that man and his children.
Lord have mercy! I'd just my lunch break.
Oh, man. Poor dads.
Yeah.
Fuck, you got to feel sorry for a dad.
Like, nah.
Yeah.
I see other dads out there, and I'm just like, I feel you, bro.
It's the ones that look like broken men. They're the ones that they've given up.
Yeah, like, they're forced to wear, like, you know, like a salmon pink dress shirt or something like that with a pair of jeans, and you just think,
but
what the fuck happened to you?
Dad responsibilities. It's like the same thing as happens with the mum on Christmas, though, right? Like, you know, all the pressure that you have to get all the food ready because the shops won't be closed, and you've got to make sure everyone's got everything. And you know, you don't want to get up from the TV and be like, oh, you know, where's the Baileys? And she goes, oh, I forgot the Baileys. Christmas is ruined. You know, she's got all this pressure.
You bitch.
Christmas without the goddamn Baileys. Where's the ice? I want a Baileys. Honey, I forgot them. You forgot the Baileys. Christmas is cancelled. Give me those presents back, kids. We're leaving.
Oh, man.
Exactly. That's the little paranoia in the back of her mind. But in the same way, you have your dad's responsibilities, like going back to the lit firework and, you know, joining up when the war starts. I don't know.
That's pretty much it.
All the things that dads have to do, you know?
Yeah.
You're expendable, right? Mum is needed to bring up those kids, but you're going to have to go.
That's true. In time of war, they might even require a 40-year-old man like me to go and die to, you know, soak up some...
Soak up some of the nukes, yeah.
You'll be a general.
We need bodies.
They've seen me play Civ, Lewis. So they're not going to put me in charge of anything.
You're going to be a grunt. You're going to be cannon fodder.
Dead in seconds.
Holy shit. Man. Anyway.
Sips will be called up to the Mounties.
Of course. Got to police those mountains. You never know what's going on there, you know? Could be like a Navy SEAL team or something trying to invade the mountains. Got to get the horse back.
They put you in charge of the mountains. You'd be like, I think we're going to go deep, deep into the forest. We're going to portage the crap out of this forest way, way deep, just in case. You guys just leave us out there. Don't worry about us. Okay, we'll be fine.
And just we're going to set up our HQ on a fortified island.
It'll be like those members of the Japanese army who were still fighting like 30 years later
and didn't realize the war had ended. I know, like, it wasn't anything to do with the war, but that's kind of like that, right? Like, he's left at his post. He doesn't know what the fuck is going on. He's like, oh, shit. Maybe we're winning. I don't know. They've forgotten about us. We haven't had any intel or radio comms with the mainland for... Well, about 30 years now.
those guys that were stuck on the islands, the Japanese soldiers that like didn't surrender, the locals would go to them with like foghorns or loudspeakers saying, the war has been over for 30 years.
But they
please
didn't believe
Yeah, but they thought that was like psychological warfare, though. They didn't believe
for
it.
For 30 right. years?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they would still like commit, like they would commit raids and steal stuff like to survive.
Yeah.
And they still had their, like, 30-year-old service rifles.
Like, they would kill people from time to time. Like, it's not... I mean, it's seen as kind of a funny story, but those guys were fucking nuts, man.
And in other news, those three crazy fucking guys that think that the war is still going have struck again. This time, it looks like they stole a tin of beans from old Miss Maggie, who was coming home.
They stole a pie off the window.
She was on her way to the bus, which seems to actually scare the shit out of these three guys. They've never seen one before.
And they killed her.
Yep, they used the bayonet this time. It was pretty messy. Jesus Christ.
They used the cover of fireworks night to commit a daring raid on a local town. They've killed 55 children. It's like, whoa.
Sources believe that the firework factory explosion was caused by these three guys. I don't know what the fuck they were doing.
With 30 years of experience, they'd probably be fucking ninjas at that point.
Yeah, man. They must be training in their bunker and everything, like, all the time.
But they had to get... They wouldn't surrender until their original officer, like, some unbelievably old dude, went out there and said,
give it
a fucking rest, lads.
So they had to get this, like, 85-year-old guy to, like, wheelchair him up there to this fucking in the middle of nowhere and left him there, I guess, to, like, you know...
But they were, like
bait,
saluting and everything,
know,
and
like
they were like,
honey trap.
You did your duty, back to Japan you go. It's like, it's not their fault. It fucking is their fault. See sense. Look at this shit. God. The war clearly isn't still going on, lads. Think about it. You 30 think years?
You
Come
know, even
on.
If the war was raging on, occasionally if I was in the middle of the war, I'd be like, fuck, I wonder if the war's over. Like, you know, you just would. It's just like that natural curiosity, right? Because, like, it's such a chaotic and confusing time. Like,
I guess. There'd I be think times what they should have done
you,
was.
You could convince yourself that it was over. And, like, maybe. I don't understand why those guys didn't. Like, it's nuts.
I think what they could have done was wheeled up a giant screen and projected footage of Japan surrendering and bombs falling and, like, color television and people saying, World War II, glad that ended back in 1945, and, like, just broadcast that day and night into the jungle until eventually these guys go, yeah, all right, maybe it's over.
Yeah. It's weird, though, isn't it? Like, I understand in a way them not surrendering until they got the all clear to do so, sort of thing. Because I think the Japanese army was trained that way. You know, like you're talking about an army that, with an air force where, you know, kamikaze pilots existed.
True.
So like these people were like pretty sort of like, fuck, I better do it as I'm told, you know, to the letter. I never deviate from the plan because I'll probably get caned or something like that.
They took it kind of seriously, you could say. They took it pretty seriously.
They were the tryhards of their time, I would say.
They were. Mega tryhards.
Yeah.
So. Man, this reminds me of a story. So one of the great things, one of my favorite stories about World War One is Ernest Shackleton when he went off to explore the South Pole.
This
was after Scott's expedition, after Amundsen had conquered the South Pole before Scott, and Scott had died on the way back with his expedition, and he was this real national hero, a real solid symbol of Englishness and Britishness to you know, challenge everything and die against, you know, in a sort of epic way. And Shackleton kind of never really got the prestige as much as Scott, even though he tried to do things like cross the whole pole and do all sorts of expeditions. But he was fraught with bad luck, usually, Shackleton. Anyway, he basically went off in 1914, before the war had started. So they set off in August 1914, just at the very outbreak of the Great War.
Handy.
He said, hey, can we instead go? So he petitioned the Admiralty to say, hey, can we be part of it? And he received a one-word telegram saying, proceed. That's all. So he was told to just go off on his mission. Okay?
Nice.
And do it. And so he went off to the South Pole, stopped at Buenos Aires in South Georgia. And it was a long trip. And anyway, they went the whole way around. Buenos Aires, yeah, and off to the South Pole.
Buenos Aires?
Fucking Buenos Aires.
How do you pronounce
Buenos Aires?
Kinder Buenos Aires. Delicious.
Boners Aires. I'm going to Boners Aires.
Could you continue to interrupt me throughout the story, please?
Okay.
So obviously he got stuck on an ice shelf, right? And their ships, they had to take the lifeboat off, and they'd stayed on the lifeboat for a while. They ate seals for like a year and walruses and stuff. It was horrible. And they fucking fought with penguins and slapped them around. I don't know.
Shit.
Kicked them around as fucking footballs. I don't know. They entertained themselves. However, men stuck on an ice shelf in the middle of fucking nowhere do.
Sodomy.
In the freezing cold
they
for the best part
have
of a year.
Have sex with stuff, whatever is available pretty much.
Yep.
And obviously World War One's going on and it's absolutely terrible. And they have no idea. Because back in the time, they just thought, oh, World War One's not going to be this big deal. It's just going to be over by Christmas. Like, it's just going to be a little kerfuffle in Europe. Anyway, so their boat like sank, and they took this tiny lifeboat, and they rowed it like 1,300 kilometers off to South Georgia, which is also in the middle of fucking nowhere, by the way. No one lived on South Georgia, and they didn't even know if anyone would be there. And so they finally reached this whaling station in 1916, okay, after literally climbing a mountain range. So they landed on one side of the island and had to climb over an entire mountain range on the island to get to this fucking whaling station. And they were absolutely wrecked. And the people, and so they, I think they saw, you know, they saw that so the three of them made it there, and they all looked like in absolute shit shape. And so they came up to this whaling station. These little kids saw them and ran off immediately. And then another man saw them and ran off immediately because they thought they thought they were like the devil or some monster had come out of the sea.
Nice.
You know, and so, you know, they finally met this man who was absolutely terrified of them. And, you know, he said, "Who are you? Where have you come from?" And Shackleton replied, "You know, we've lost our ship and we've come over the island." And this guy said, you've come over the island? Like, what the fuck? This is crazy. No one's ever come over the island before. Who are you?" Anyway, he eventually said, "Who I am. I'm Shackleton." You know, got a picture, an old newspaper clipping or something, and proved who he was. And the first question he actually asked was, you know, "Tell me, when was the war over?" And the man in the whaling station looked at him, you know, wide-eyed, and said, "The war is not over. Millions are being killed. Europe is mad. The world is mad." So wow. that's one of the most amazing things. So Shackleton was such a hero. Can you imagine, after all of that, after being completely cut off from the world and having this incredibly turbulent trial where you thought you were going to die hundreds of times,
yeah,
doing all of this in 1914, only to find that, you know, what's going on in Europe is absolutely completely crazy. It was, because World War One was just
Did he immediately set sail for the front lines? "To the front lines, men!" And just straight to battle.
He just led the charge.
"Where's the nearest country we're at war with? Point me in that direction." And off he goes in his fucking rowboat again.
That's some Hearts of Iron shit right there.
Holy fuck. Oh,
back
man.
In the whale rowboat, man, they climb across the island again.
All right, well, hey, listen. So we went on a trip, right? And as is custom when I go on a trip that's like a week long or whatever, I catch up on TV. I watched the latest series of Game of Thrones, and man, did I ever like it. It was good. It was a really good one. I don't want to spoil anything, so if you haven't seen it, stop listening now. But for those of you who have seen it, holy shit, who wasn't satisfied with Ramsay Bolton's demise? Because,
it was good.
That
was
guy
good.
Was such a fucking dingus, and he had it coming. Holy
he
shit.
He did. I was very happy to see him die. Yeah. I like I think the payoff for Game of Thrones is you have to watch all your favorite characters suffer and die, like Hodor and people like that, which was just a mind-blowing episode. Like that that Hodor episode was the episode. That moment was such a Game of Thronesy moment.
It was.
I think
no one quite
realized how emotionally invested they were in Hodor
It was a great moment, but I mean, all the memes and stuff had started before I'd seen it, so I knew it was coming.
I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know at all. So I watched. I was genuinely moved by it because it was just so staggering a moment. I was like, "Oh my god, that is so good. That is so fucking good."
Yeah.
So when and then obviously, you know, the payoff is you have all those moments where your favorite characters get killed brutally and everything, but then the payoff is that the bad guys also die sometimes.
Yeah, they always
do. And that's
do,
like so cathartic when you see like Ramsay Bolton or what was that other shithead, the guy with the blonde hair. Joffrey.
Tommen.
Tommen. I was thinking Joffrey.
Fucking Rip, he's dead too.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of satisfying as well. Just Cersei slowly losing everybody that, you know, she's such a wretched cunt as well.
Ugh, she's the worst.
You know, like, it's good that, like, slowly she's just being chipped away at as well. Like, it's pretty good. But she's the chief though, so
yeah. But I mean, honestly, I'm kind of sympathetic to Cersei. Like, if you look at the people that she's surrounded by, don't get me wrong, she's a cold bitch, right?
Yeah.
But so's every other fucker in Game of Thrones. There's hardly any good guys.
Not more so than the Mountain, who is just like some sort of fucking undead.
Yeah,
abomination.
But I mean,
she's
clinging on to power, and she's always trying to protect her family. Right? She's all talking about her family and all the rest of it. And she does genuinely just want them. Like, she wants the same thing for them that her father wanted for her, which was the only way to stay protected in this shitty world that some bastard's written us into is to have enough power to fuck over anybody that tries to fuck with you. And if you don't do that, they'll get to you first. Like, that's the world she lives in.
Yeah.
So I try not to judge Cersei based on modern standards of decency. Obviously, she's a fucking idiot, and you know, you'd hate her, but she's not an idiot. She's just a bitch, but she's got to be. Like, she's the product of her environment. So, and her parents. So I don't judge Cersei that badly.
So
Jon Snow's the good guy, obviously.
Yeah, he's like the Snow's ultimate pretty good guy. Jon Snow's story is pretty cool too. Like, you know, like he's a likable hero sort of thing, isn't he?
My only problem with Jon Snow is that when he comes back to life, I'm kind of thinking that's a bit like when they write a character out of a series and then bring him back a series later. Like, viewing figures were falling, so don't worry, he's back. It was just a trip that he took to the moon, and he's back now.
Yeah, but it's got to do with the whole sort of thing, like that Robin Hood guy who's Beric Dondarrion or whatever. You know, he's still alive too, right? And he's been killed, you know, 9 times or whatever now. And in the book, originally, Cat Stark was meant to be the next, right? But that hasn't made it into the TV series. She was like the Walking Dead, right?
I hate people talking about the fucking books as if like it matters. Like
but there's definitely
TV
like a
so
big
different. There's, I couldn't care less about that those characters. I'm glad they got rid of them.
I don't think
George R. R. Martin touches is gold. I think a lot of his stuff is boring and
I'm not
crap.
Saying that at all. I'm just saying that there's definitely a big plot line around being resurrected from the dead.
That
seems to happen to a couple of people only.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous to resurrect a character from the dead because it makes you lose your... If you're watching something in the world, you're like, well, you know, you're basically invulnerable now, aren't you? It's like watching James Bond all of a sudden. You're like, well, James Bond's not going to fucking die,
is he?
Yeah,
there's no peril. You know,
it's kind of like... One of the great things about Game of Thrones back in the day was that anybody could die. And it was, you know, that the classic death of Rob is like really a surprise one.
Yeah.
You know, and there's loads of those. And do you know what? I fucking actually give a shit. Now I don't really give a shit because I know certain characters are immune to death.
Well, no,
right?
But that's the thing. I think Jon Snow could still die. And I think that like he needs to come back for this thing because there's definitely some sort of like higher power at play or something anyway. But I don't think that means that he's just immune from death forever now. Like I think as with anything in Game of Thrones, like once they've sort of served their purpose or run their course, they're gone sort of thing. But equally, I'm glad that Sandor Clegane is back because he's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great show. I love it.
I like how it's all very much based on all of the War of the Roses. Like, you know, the real history of, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, if you like George R. R. Martin, you should read all these history books, like where people have gone through all the history of, you know, about the Prince of the Tower and all the cruel, horrible stuff that was done in the Middle Ages with all the... All the infighting across Europe and all the politics and man, there were some really amazing real life stories that actually fucking happened.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in that, then I'm not going to suggest you anything in particular.
Yeah. They do say that sometimes fact is indeed stranger than fiction.
Good point.
Indeed.
Well spoken.
Well said.
Yeah. So anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Now that we're getting all literary, I mean, we have Bodega shirts now, so there's probably no chance in hell that there's not going to be another Bodega
today.
They
are so good, by the way. I fucking love them.
You can. I don't know if they're available yet.
I got
on
mine.
The store.
I got
I've
one.
Got two.
I got one in the mail. It's really nice.
You guys got said Bodega shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah, baby.
I wore them the moment I got it. I stripped. Boom, this is going on. I fucking love it. It's got my name on it, lads.
Yeah.
It's the first t-shirt I've ever had that has my name on it.
Yeah,
I'm so
actually
happy.
Got his full real name on there.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, so there's now a Bodega shirt available on store.yourskills.com. You can buy that. That's the only thing we've got supporting this podcast. So,
and the goodwill of our listeners, of course.
Obviously, that supports us greatly. Thank you for all your love and support. There were a couple of people at BlizzCon that told me
that they have
to me
small
and
dicks.
Said, I have a small dick.
Yeah, and that was surprising, but very entertaining as well.
One man came up and told me that he had a gaping vagina.
I had a couple of those as well, actually. Yeah.
And that was a joy, actually. But I my kind of reply to them was, You're not supposed to say that.
No, I play that's Overwatch. The whole
point is that you're not supposed to say it.
I've been playing like, a lot of Overwatch, and occasionally just in like the match chat, which is like, you know, the non-team chat or whatever, some dude will just be like, I have a small dick.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Me too.
Yeah, I get that. I'll be playing squad or something like that, and someone will say, hey, Piran, in all chat, and I'll be like, what's up? And they'll be like, I have a small dick. Like every time, every single game.
It's nice.
It doesn't need the Hyperion. I think I just like the idea that chats in games are now people are just saying that.
Yeah,
because like, everyone else in that game is like, "What the fuck I does know. That mean?"
You'd be playing a game against somebody for like 20 minutes. They'll show no sign of recognizing who you are at all. And then when you're watching the cards come up with the play of the game in all chat, it's just like, "I have a small dick." And you're like, "Oh, it's hilarious! It's so funny."
It's funny.
Good. So is there another bodega?
I think that might be because people don't look at other people's names in games, though, until maybe... And I mean, if it's like play of the game by Sips, then you realize, oh my God, Sips was in this game?
Yeah, true. Like,
I have a small dude.
But I guess that never happens, though, right?
No, it's very rare.
They're just coming thick and fast, these gags. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Great value. Are you inquiring whether there's a bodega part siete?
I was, yeah.
There is a part siete.
Part what is?
Siete.
Seven. Siete, it's imported directly Italian. From Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say seven in Spanish. Let me do Google Translate.
I always said Buenos Aires. I don't know why I did. Maybe it's because it's one of those words that...
Boners you said Aries. Boners in the Aries.
Boners Aires.
How do you say it? How are you supposed to say it?
I think...
Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires.
You have to have a little bit of a lisp as well.
Buenos Aires.
And then you have to have a little bit of a silence, and then in your angriest voice, you have to say, puta.
Buenos Aires.
Okay.
Puta.
Good.
Puta. Yeah. All right, so Bodega Part Siete, would you like to hear it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let me recline. Hang on.
Yeah, recline.
Hang on. I'm a little bit tangled up here. Wires and
press the back of your chair to like you know get it in a more comfortable
nice.
Position.
I've got my legs up and everything.
Okay. All right, ready?
Ready.
Yeah, I guess.
So wait, hang on. What happened last time? Because it's been a little while.
I'll give you a little recap. In
the last one
six,
was the prison.
He was in the mind prison. Yeah, the virtual mind prison.
That's right.
Escaped by channeling that little piece of Majesta that was embedded in his brain, his former girlfriend Majesta. And so he'd used that to turn into a kind of ethereal being like her and had escaped. So now, Bodega, part siete. Majesta! Bodega screamed himself awake for the fourth night in a row. He reached his hand slowly to his face and yet again felt tears there. Was he sleep crying? Sweet jumping jub jub, this was not usual. He dragged the heavy blast-proof sheets back and sat on the edge of the bed, head in hands.
Blast-proof sheets?
Of course!
Oh my God!
Pondering. When he'd escaped the virtual prison, see episode 6, he'd been forced to deploy the shard of Majesta's power that lay in his mind, which to that point had been dormant, or so he'd assumed. Now it was gone, consumed by his transformation into... whatever Majesta was. He probably should have found out the name for her people when they were together, but frankly, that time had been bone central. Every day, all day, just getting busy like Krevians and screaming around the galaxy in the Disco Volantes, screwing and shooting stuff sometimes. In short, it fucking owned, and Bodega missed it. He remembered the time they'd taken the Crooked Casino on Bismuth 11 for all its coin. The time they'd busted those rebel prisoners out of Highsec using just a drinking straw and some chapstick. The time they'd destroyed an entire solar system with the doom egg of the Death Lord, Mr. Pringle. Now that was a long story. Good times. So many good times. And of course, the constant shagging, which was really, really, really good. Just incredible. He was getting a semi just thinking about it. Turns out, Bodega missed Majesta. That little shard of her maybe kept that longing at bay. Maybe she was even kind of with him all this time, but hopefully not when he was on the can or jerking it to Spaloopian porn. He looked at the floor and saw tiny pools of tears reflecting the light from the cockpit. In the reflection of one, he saw something move. Just a teeny tiny little reflection of something to his right. Bodega's reflexes being what they are, i.e. honed to flav, he dived backwards over the bed and was up and ready in a heartbeat, lasgun in hand. His captors had been too worried about the Disco Volante's many booby traps to ever board it and strip it, so all his shit was secure. "I see ya," Bodega shouted, "and I ain't in the mood for this mort crap." "Bodega," said a voice, a jester's voice. He fell apart, laid out completely, a TKO of the heart. Baby, I'm hurting," he whimpered. "I know. I'm sorry, my love," she said. He still couldn't see her, just sort of sense her loitering around the edges of his subconscious. And then she was gone. Then suddenly she was back, behind him, to the side, then what felt like a mile away. What the flav? Was she just fooling with his achy breaky heart? "Bodega, I need you to meet me," she said again, her voice distant and ethereal. "Where, baby, where? I got a subscription to Netflix so we can chill and such like."
Oh my god.
"Come to the planet Stroya 9, at the base of the highest peak on that world, and you'll find my estate. I'll be waiting." The engines of the Disco Volante were at maximum burn before the full stop on the end of that sentence had faded. It was 12 hours to the Stroya system. Bodega did it in 3. He spiraled down through the thick upper atmosphere, his ship roaring across the sky, engines swirling the clouds behind him. High-altitude hoverbirds and strange floating gas bag creatures scrambled clear, but Bodega plowed on, disturbing this tranquil place with the brutality of the warship. He practically collided with the estate in his haste, but then the ship was down. He emergency ejected out of the top and parkoured down across the nose cone. Then he was up and he was running to the gates, vaulting over them with his jetpack, powering with his scram boots to the front door, grabbing the whole flaving thing off its hinges, and knee sliding across the marble floor, stopping at Majesta's feet, his head bowed. Jesus. "Baby, he began as he looked up and saw Majesta holding a tiny baby swaddled in a Mimlock silk blanket. He stood slowly, removing his hat. "What's this little feller's name?" he asked gently. "I named him after his father," said Majesta, smiling. "Why, hello there, little Bodega Jr.," said Bodega, smiling. He felt something in his heart go twang, like an old guitar string that badly needed tuning. This was an unfamiliar sensation. It was the pure love of a parent for their child. He looked at Majesta, but her expression was strange. Her perfect brow knotted, her lips parted. "No, Bodega, after his father," she said, "this is Tan Blatchman Jr." And with that sentence, Bodega's shit. Universe imploded. The end.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Hey.
Oh, no.
So, two things, okay? Yeah. In this world of crazy sort of like lingo for things.
Right.
Jerking it, I felt, could have been something else. You know, like jerking it. Like, you know, what about like thwarving it or something, you know?
Yeah, but
like
you wouldn't know what that meant. You know what jerking it means. Like, there are some things that never change. Even when you're out in the galaxy and everything's all crazy and there's all kinds of weird animals and stuff, swear words might change, just what they do in real life and stuff. But jerking it is jerking it. That's it. That ain't never going to change.
Also, I'm a little bit sort of with the Majesta shard, okay?
Yeah.
I feel like it's in Bodega.
It was.
It was.
Yeah.
Maybe corrupting him a little bit while it's in there. And, man, I am not on board for a story of corruption and fell, okay?
What I'm do you mean saying. Corruption? He ain't corrupted.
Okay, good. Let's just make, I just want to be clear that like.
Wait, you think Majesta's, the implant would have made him evil?
No, not evil. Just somehow corrupted him to do things that maybe he wouldn't have done.
It was just an escape. It was a prison escape kit embedded in his brain, remember?
Okay.
It's like,
so that
when
no,
when
I know
he
that's what he used
it
for, but I just wanted to make sure that like.
Fear not.
It was like a special one-off.
Yeah,
that,
fear not.
You know,
okay.
It was a one-shot. It was a one-shot escape plan.
Like the file in the carrot cake.
Exactly. It was like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Man, P-Flex, this was emotionally
a good one.
Charged.
It was really good.
It felt like I was reading a little bit of a sexy girl
porn. Oh, yeah, you know it.
Mills and Boone, you know, the classic thing that girls love to read about love and romance.
I feel like the character
and,
development
like,
is really coming together, like, big time.
Yeah. Man, hearing him do, like, speak a bit more is also
he doesn't talk much.
No.
Loved it. Yeah. Was transfixed the whole time.
Oh,
that
good.
Was. I think you've outdone yourself.
Oh,
actually,
thank you,
P-Flex. This was
one of the better ones.
One of the best. I've got no gripes.
Oh,
I loved
it.
Start
awesome.
To finish.
Wow, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
got
it's
a
good.
Big old raging boner now.
Wow,
loving it.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it's time to end the episode then, in that case, because yeah, I've got to deal with this.
It's got a lot of emotions to sift through now.
All right, guys, can we stop for about 15 minutes? Yep, see you in a bit. Yep.
I only need like 2 minutes.
Guys, let's go. I spilled Coke all over my pants. I just got to go wipe it.
All right, we're gonna go. Thanks for listening to the Travels Podcast this week, everybody.
Thank you.
Should be back next week, yeah. All things being equal. And
don't forget to buy a bodega shirt.
Good suggestion.
Are we allowed to say that?
They're on store.yourscast.com.
It's like the crummiest thing to say. Fucking pay us money.
Well, we haven't asked for it in like 20x episodes, so...
Yeah, that's give us some fucking money, you bums. This is free entertainment. Jesus. I love the podcast while it's free.
All right. Bye.
Bye.